Yeah, peace and blessings, love and service. And I always try to start it out with them loving the babies too. You know, there again, end goal is to have a babies, have the babies, have our babies engaging in something healthier, something more productive. Than we may have had coming up. So I'm not going to make this podcast kind of short. Well, I'm going to try to. But what I was having a conversation with a little earlier was with a gentleman, and we was, you know, really talking about that. He was asking me about that, the whole restorative justice or the restorative processes or, you know, even the restorative models, which, you know, a lot of times we talk about restorative justice and how that looks as different models. But me, myself, and I just thank you again. Let me not get ahead of myself. Thank you again for tuning in to the Wise Words of Wisdom's conversation with Manuel Lewis. And Emmanuel Lewis, this is Sunday. It's kind of like a Sunday, cloudy. It's like the 27th, you know, not that the day is really gray, but, you know, with the trees turning a bright gold and yellow and light green, you know, with that gray in the background, it's just, yeah, you know, so want to acknowledge and extend my condolences and my deepest, you know, sympathies for anyone who has, you know, lost loved ones up until this point, whether it was, you know, due to the COVID epidemic or due to, you know, it's a lot of violence and a lot of things that's going on to lose loved ones. Is something that a lot of people just, it's hard to get over. And it is something hard to get over, and people healing from the loss of loved ones, and especially if you was close to loved ones or they made a significant impact in your life. You know, we can't tell someone how long it really takes the mourning process for an individual to get over a loved one. But, you know, I just want to take this opportunity to pray and, you know, lift up all those who are really trying to deal with different realities that may not include their loved ones or may not include the structure that they're used to or, you know, may not include, you know, just the residuals of what they're used to getting, right? You know, this is different times. So I ask people to have patience, you know, not only with themselves, but also with the world that's changing around them, you know? You know, people are in different places. So we cannot expect people to act normal. Right. So today I really wanted to, you know, touch on these restorative processes, which the restorative models or the restorative processes, even when you're talking about restorative justice, or I think that it does go back to a community's wisdom, how communities long established, how they dealt with harm that was done to community members, right? So it's community members coming together, formulating solutions on how to resolve issues amongst community members, right? So by definition, when you look at the legal system is a form of a restorative process, right? You know, probation, you know, mediation, even child support. It's a lot of systems that were created to act as restorative processes, right? And when you look at the evolution, how things evolve, and a lot of times things evolve in fashions that if you don't stick to or know about the history, it's easy to have the title, but not really the essence of it, so to say, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, even you talk about, am I mentioning the judicial system? The first line of defense in the restorative process when it comes to the police department, Department of Corrections, or correctional institutions, whatever you want to call them. The first line of defense is the officer's discretion, or the officer's observance, or the officer's knowledge of a social harm, right? So when you look at the police department or Department of Corrections, corrections institution, as a restorative process, first of all, there must be a harm done to someone in the community by someone in the community. Now, loosely speaking, when we talk about communities, you know, sometimes that could be a loaded, you know, phrase or term, but it's, you know, just round about where you at and, you know, how people do what they do where you at, right? How they live, right? What they see as valuable, or, you know, something to do, right? So when we have communities that's structured around restorative processes, what we now are in the time of is there's an expose of these systems they're not being applied equitably. Therefore, they create disparities in, one, who creates the narrative of what the system does, two, who falls victim to the narrative and its consequences, you know, three, and, you know, those people who, I don't know, either they don't believe in the system or think that the system is like, you know, one of these big clouds in the sky, is just something hovering, right? But in the essence, it's people. People have created systems to restore, you know, some sort of value after harm has been done back into the community, community members, you know, and those systems change, right? So when I'm talking about, it's not only from my own personal experience, but it's tried true, it's tried true through examples, through data, through surveys, through, you know, different methods of collecting data, right, on who is more prone to stop incorrect behavior, especially when it's identified. Data shows who is more prone to be the enforcers of inappropriate behavior, right, and how that looks. Data shows resources where the resources have gone to be supportive of either the person or the community that the harm was done in, right? All of this is clear. But one thing that I know, this is from, you know, like I say, from doing a lot of work, doing a lot of research, you know, reflecting back on my own history from that which I know, experienced, you know, stories, reading, you know, facts, is that there have been so many systems created to restore harm that a lot of the systems create the harm, right? But the systems are supported by people who push the systems, who work in the systems, who develop language for those systems, who develop or push legislation or policies for those systems, right? It's not like I said, it's not like a cloud in the sky that just come from, it has substance, right? And a lot of times, there's a written narrative that, you know, can be visited to prove or to substantiate, you know, the position, whatever the position is, right? Laws, policies, legislation, whatnot, standard operating procedures, whatever you want to call it, right? So when we look at these restorative processes, we know that there had to be a harm done. Someone had to acknowledge or didn't acknowledge, or there was a victim of someone, harm was done to them by someone. And a lot of, sometimes it can be systems that do harm to people, or people do harm to systems, right? So what ultimately happens is when we oversaturate our communities with these policies and systems that are supposed to restore the value, and a lot of times they don't restore value, they just implement other systems, values get lost. Human values get lost. Human principles get lost, right? And what I mean by that is a lot of times these systems, being that they're pushing the narrative or upholding the narrative that supports their position, these systems don't necessarily have values that are in line with humanity, that are in line with the community, right? That are in line with the community that it's serving, right? So we have systems in place that are not based on values, but actually govern people who do have values. Those systems can override people's human value, right? Those systems can actually put people in the mindset of acting systematic and less based on value. So, and I think one of the key things that I want to bring up in this podcast, and it's very important that I circle back around to us, we had like 15 minutes, so I'm gonna cut it off in a minute, is that when systems create the values for humanity, the communities themselves die off, right? The values of the communities die off. because the systems, and you know, a lot of the systems are created with pure intent, but if they're not pushed and, you know, substantiated by the values of the people, then, you know, this is how we get into this very oppressive system based society that renders very antisocial, very much antisocial behaviors, and puts people in antisocial situations in which it's really hard to, you know, center and get back to, you know, what's healthy and what's what we would really like to do. So, you know, in the course of, you know, next couple of days, a week or so that you had your conversations and you really want to chop this up, this piece about the restorative processes and, you know, what the restorative processes are about. And they are about restoring the values of humanity and restoring harm where harm was done, but actually building up the community's capacity to take ownership in the culture of the community. And when we find ourselves in the midst of all these unhealthy cultures and other healthy activities in our communities, you know, we do need to go to places or get the tools to actually fix our own issues, whether they're internally, whether, you know, they're our own attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, you know, how we respond to things or how we see things or, you know, just how we feel about things, if we feel at all sometimes, right? So I'm a big, you know, I have big faith in people who believe that they can heal. I have big faith in, you know, belief that, you know, when people recognize that the things that happen to us don't make us who we are, it does kind of alter how we see things, but we still have an opportunity to heal from those traumas, you know. And this is the restorative process. This is the restorative mindset. This is the restoring of humanity, not just from articulating a word base, right? Not just, you know, and I'm not a doctor, you know, I don't have any degrees, you know, I've done a lot of work, but what I'm speaking on is based on, you know, just chopping up based on what I know, right? Like wise words of wisdom, right? Things, you know, whether you knowledge, wisdom, and understand how you have processed what you have went through, and are you able to share it? Because, you know, sharing is caring. Are you able to digest it to where it becomes a nutrient and a organic feeding source for your soul? Can you instill it within someone else so that they can feed off of it, like creating a water hole for somebody else to come, right? So we all have these elements within us, and this is just, you know, my time with the wise words of wisdom. But coming back, you know, I'm gonna come back probably in a couple more days. Like I told you, these are communications and conversations that, you know, I can't wait to have with somebody else, because it needs to be heard now, right? You know, you can always reach out to me if you're on the podcast. You know, you can reach me at my email, which is manyoucan101@gmail.com. You know, I got the Facebook page, Manu Lewis, or the Wise Words of Wisdom on Facebook. You know, I do a little something on Instagram. You know, you can also go to my web page, which is manulewis.me. You know, that's the Man You Can Consulting LLC. It's a lot of different ways you can get at me, but these conversations are really being put into practice. And, you know, if it's something that you want to comment about, talk to, you know, if you're on Spotify or whatever podcast platform you actually listen to this on, you know, you can reach out to me, talk to me, I'll talk back, right? But for right now, what I want to do is make sure that get back to you know, the most valuable part of this, and it's always important, and I say it's important that, you know, that we keep this part in mind.